Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 17 of the Raiders Insider Podcast. I'm your host, NBC Sports California Raiders Insider Scott Baer, and with me is my pal and the station's Raiders reporter, Fallon Smith.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Now, normally, what we do is Fallon and I talk Raiders for a little while, and then we head towards kind of a feature interview, an exclusive one-on-one that kind of gets into a former Raiders player or analyst or current Raiders player and kind of does like a deep dive in, like, into their background.
We ain't got that this week.
Yeah, let's be honest. You guys don't want to hear about that right now.
No.
You guys are incredibly disappointed after this team dropped to 6-9 and could be 6-10 if they can't beat the LA Chargers on New Year's Eve in Carson. Yep. So instead of doing all that, I thought it would be better to just kind of evaluate each of the main coaches on the Raiders staff, head coach Jack Del Rio, offensive coordinator Todd Downing, and then we're going to do a little twofer on Ken Norton Jr.'s firing, and then also John Pagano and what he's been able to do with this defense, and we're going to discuss the futures of all three of those guys for next year, and we'll kind of break down if we think coaching was the problem in that particular area, and if that guy will stick around or not. So we're going to start with the big man. Head coach Jack Del Rio is the first topic on the table right now. We've seen a couple of different reports, one from Pro Football Talk saying it's 50-50 that Jack Del Rio could be retained or not. I think both you and I have done some reporting on this. I think we both agree, generally speaking, that Jack Del Rio, that I believe that he will be back, though it is still uncertain as we head towards the end of this year. I think you're on the same page there, too.
I'm on the same page.
But really, ultimately, the fact that we're talking about Del Rio possibly being let go after being offered a four-year contract extension last February, it definitely doesn't seem like a spot that, or a conversation topic that would be even on the table at this point. Fallon, why do you think it's on the table? Why do you think it's gotten to this point? Obviously, the record is disappointing, but why is some of the blowback falling on the head coach?
A couple things. It's gotten to this point because of the lofty expectations they had entering the season. This isn't a team just that. First of all, they're going to have a losing record, okay? This is a team 1 year removed from a 12-4 season. They added pieces. This is a team that was expected to win the division. This is a team that was expected to go to the AFC Championship and possibly make a run at the Super Bowl. They haven't even made the playoffs. They're not going to the postseason this year. Not only did they not make the postseason, but they have been embarrassing, especially offensively. And I think that is why people are up in arms. We knew what this defense was capable of. We said they just have to be middle of the road. And they actually shattered our expectations for them, especially after firing Ken Norton Jr., because they've been the quote-unquote MVP of this team and done enough to win football games. But it's been the offense who, and here's a stat I'm going to throw out, and I guess I can use it for Todd Downing too, but just altogether, is this offense is 0-9 when scoring less than 20 points, and we expected them to go 28-plus. I know Jack Del Rio is not the offensive coordinator, but he does partake in decisions with his coaching staff, and him and Reggie, both conversating on what's going on. And it was his decision to not keep Bill Musgrave around and his decision to promote Todd Downing. So I think that he should accept some blame for that. And I think a lot of people say, hey, if John Gruden, though, is available, then heck yeah, get rid of, you know, Jack Del Rio. So I think that's where the questions, you know, and the 50-50 chance, you know, come into play. And at the same time, I think when you're on the outside looking in, you look at Jack saying, okay, he changed the culture. Great. That's what Mark Jackson did for the Warriors. But is he going to take this team to that next level? A lot of people don't think so. I'm one of those people, and I feel terrible because I like him as a person, but I don't think that – I think he's a leader of men. But is he a guy who's going to take an organization, a franchise, to the next level? I'm going to say no. You could have hiccups. You're not going to always be on the upper trajectory. But when you win 7 games in your first year, you win 12 games in your second year, you have the roster that you have, and then you perform like this, you know, then there's red flags. But I'm going to give Jack Del Rio, I know I'm long-winded, but I'm giving Jack Del Rio a pass because for those reasons. You are 1 year removed from a 12-win season. You are 2 years removed from your first year coming here and winning 7 games, you know, doing a lot better than those other coaches did before him. But obviously the results haven't, you know, you haven't won a division. I think that's where it started, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't even compete basically this year for a freaking division title. You had your chances, and every time you had a chance, your foot fell flat on your face.
Yeah, and if I'm going to play devil's advocate for maybe why Jack is feeling some heat and maybe why some people think that he should go, is it's not a small sample size when it comes to him as a head coach in general. He spent a long time in Jacksonville, yeah. More time here in Oakland. He's never won a division title
in 12
ever.
Years.
And his career mark is right around 500, and there were lots of 7-9s. In Jacksonville, mm-hmm. There was a 7-9 to start. There could be a 7-9 and a 6-10. So to your point that he can only take you so far, I think is a legitimate concern for an organization that doesn't have patience on its side anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe when they were deconstructing this franchise and building it back up through the early 2010s, maybe you could exercise more patience. But now that you're trying to keep eyeballs in the East Bay on the Raiders, they want to take this market with them to Vegas.
Yep.
They need not only to be good, but they need to be entertaining. And also you did bring up a good point that, yeah, Jack Del Rio isn't calling offensive plays, right? But and he's more of a CEO than he is a schematic mastermind. And when the people that you hire don't work out, then I think that's a poor reflection upon you. And I think ultimately, if he does go, I think Mark Davis and Reggie McKenzie would have to have a good idea of where they were going to go and the type of coach that they could get.
Yep.
You don't want to just make a change to make a change.
Yep.
And ultimately, some of that culture kind of wore down with the expectations and the failure to meet them. So, I think that I wouldn't be shocked if he were let go. I also don't necessarily think that he should be let go at this stage.
Yeah.
But there is a camp of fans out there saying, "Don't do a half measure. Blow the whole thing up. If that's what you're going to do, blow the whole thing up. Don't hire a new offensive coordinator or new assistant coaches to fall under a guy with a short leash as it is." So I think that's kind of where we are with Jack. I think we do expect him to be back. Ultimately, it's still kind of undetermined, although I think for all the reasons that we said, if there is an attractive name, if John Gruden becomes available, I think Mark would move mountains for him. And it's just a matter of, can you get the offensive coach that you want? Can you get this offense fixed? Or do you blame Jack for letting it fall so far, so fast?
And also, I know that we actually didn't say we were going to talk about this guy, but do you blame also Reggie McKenzie?
Right.
Because for just the personnel and the roster that they were given, and I think that they didn't address as far as you know, the defensive needs that Reggie McKenzie did not address them this offseason, as far as middle linebacker, and then the flops with the draft. Even though we don't know that they're going to be flops just yet, but they haven't been able to draft a corner that's been able to make an impact right away,
right.
And they have a corner first round draft pick in Gary Connolly, who obviously because of injury didn't make a freaking impact. And their top two draft picks this year in Garen Conley and Obi Melifonwu didn't do a darn thing for this defense. However, offensively, they did bring in guys that you would expect, you know, to be upgrades for the roster that they had a year ago. And that is not on Reggie. That's on the coaching staff and also the players to execute. But again, though, I still think as far as rosters goes, there's still a ton of holes. And Reggie has not done a great job in the last couple of drafts.
Yeah, I think he is the safest of everybody to this point. He is Mark Davis's closest confidant, and I think he is committed to being patient with the general manager in that regard, but we could see some changes on the coaching staff, and maybe the most obvious one is one that we can talk about next. It's that offensive coordinator, Todd Downing, who was, just a quick little recap, was promoted from quarterbacks coach after Bill Musgrave was allowed to walk out the front door, and this season has not gone terribly well for Downing or the offense. Derek Carr doesn't look as good. The offense in general doesn't look as good. And at times, football analysts have said that this, especially the route concepts in the passing game, are easier to defend. So ultimately, we're hitting a point here about, could Todd Downing be let go after his first season? Jack Del Rio was actually asked about that this week, about his evaluation of Todd Downing. Here's what he had to say.
Well, you know, obviously a lot of things have gone in a negative direction. But I do know the guy's super bright. He's going to be a real good coach in this league. And I believe it. So those are not things that people want to hear right now, because the reality is we've underperformed offensively this year, and so there's going to be naturally going to be those kind of questions. And I think we all understand that. I understand it. But doesn't change my belief. It's what I know. But there have been some tough set of circumstances, and things have not gone.
Well, that was neither a vote of confidence, nor did he throw Todd Downing under the bus there. He basically said, I believe in this guy. I think he's going to be a good coach in this league, but things haven't gone smooth. Things haven't gone right. I think that was an accurate, fair portrayal, where he could have maybe tossed Todd under the bus there, but he didn't do it ultimately. But the real question is not what he says, but what he does after this, and whether Reggie and Mark Davis are going to have a say on how they're going to fix this offense. It's broken right now. What is your opinion on, do they stay the course here, which may be unpopular, or do they turn the page and try to fix the offense with somebody else at the helm?
Unfortunately, they have to turn the page. Midway through the season, I thought, no, it doesn't matter what happens this year. You got to keep him around because, you know, you are the one that took a chance on a young coach, and you thought he was going to be a great, you know, offensive coordinator in the National Football League. He was an up-and-coming coach, right? So I thought, you know what, he was just having growing pains. It's his first year. But then you look kind of at the offense as a whole, and you go, and so this was, like I said, you know, halfway through I said, no, just growing pains, you know, da-da-da-da. But then I look back at how they're performing, and I said, look, there is no excuse for the way that this offense has performed after what they did a year ago. And I gave you those stats with the, you know, scoring 20-plus and what their record was. You were a top-six offense, and now it is ranked 19th in the National Football League. And we have said this on the podcast, I think I say every freaking single week, but Todd Downing was handed a Ferrari and he does not know how to drive it. It would be a complete difference if, you know, Derek Carr had an okay year. Everybody was having okay years, an okay season, excuse me. And they were ranked, let's say 10, 12, maybe, you know, somewhere maybe the top 10. They didn't have to be top five this year or whatever, but they were just okay. They're not okay. They're bad. They have a bad offense. And they have only shown a couple of games where we saw that 2016 offense. This is a bad offense. Nobody is in sync. Carr's not on the same page with his receivers. It took them way too long to implement, you know, Marshawn Lynch and have that clicking. The offensive line, obviously, Pro Football Focus is saying they're having a great year, but they don't pass the eye test, in my opinion. Just all around, the offense has been such a disappointment. And I feel like anybody, you know, would have done a better job than Todd Downing. I mean, this is easier said, right? It's easier said than done. Obviously, I think if I went in there, I'd probably screw the whole damn thing up. But what I'm saying is just somebody else. They need somebody that is experienced, somebody who knows how to develop a quarterback. And I think that's the problem, because you have, you know, a Ferrari. You need somebody that knows already how to drive it, not someone who's learning in driver's ed. You know what I'm saying? You need someone who already has had the experience of calling plays in the National Football League, because you're dealing with such a talented roster, and you can't afford, because the Raiders need to win now, you can't afford to just say, you know, hire a new guy like they did this year and have it fail. And they cannot afford to give him another chance and have him fail again.
Yeah, and ultimately the tough part about this was that Todd Downing was a hot OC candidate, you know, at the end of last offseason. And I think maybe they kind of worked their way into a better job and a better position. And Derek Carr obviously agreed with it and was fine with the switch of Downing over Musgrave. Yeah. I think Musgrave is a bit romanticized at times, that, oh, those were the good old days, when in reality fans and even people within the organization, they didn't absolutely love what was going on. I think it's proof that the grass is greener. And when you have somebody who's never called plays at any level, now taking over here, you know, I don't think there's a lot of there's no way to teach the experience of making in-game adjustments and trying to fit a bunch of new dominant pieces in and giving everybody a chance to get the football. And I think ultimately it hasn't worked out. Now, is this all Todd Downing's fault?
No.
Is he probably going to be the fall guy for it? Yeah, and here's why. Because he's the easiest impact move that you can make. Yeah. From a person, if you let go of some Rob Moore, the wide receivers coach, or Bernie Parmalee, the running backs coach, or somebody on a lower level, that's not going to make an immediate splash.
Nope.
The other side of it is Derek Carr makes $25 million. They just gave Donald Penn a new contract. That offensive line is all Scrooge McDuck now. They all make tons of money. You're not going to let go of Amari Cooper. There's a lot of people on this roster, especially on the offensive side, that are expensive and are going nowhere.
Yeah.
So you have Todd Downing as the piece that you can move the easiest to have the greatest impact without impacting you financially or removing a talent, an on-field talent, you know, from the equation here. Now, I think they do need to clean up some things in terms of maybe not culture, but just in terms of kind of getting maybe some more good locker room presence in on the offensive side. When things don't go right, I think you see a lot of people's true character. Yeah. Things went so right last year that they didn't see a lot of that.
And you thought this was such a great locker room, a lot of great leaders, you know, great leaders in that locker room, and they all got along. And then when things went south, they saw maybe a little separation.
Right, there could very well be a time that Raiders fans look back on the Todd Downing. Let's say he goes off and he becomes an offensive coordinator in two more years and runs a great ship.
Yeah.
And fans are like, well, why didn't they stick with
him?
Yeah,
exactly.
It's very possible. I do agree that he is a bright offensive mind who has a lot of
potential,
a good future ahead of him.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that with all the circumstances that we've laid out, from Moot going from Oakland to Vegas to having prime years for Mack and Cooper and Carr, that ultimately that they would gamble on continuity this time around.
But can I ask you something?
Yeah, shoot.
When speaking of continuity, though, someone who hasn't had that continuity as for an offensive coordinator is your franchise quarterback, Derek Carr.
Right.
And now if they get rid of Todd Downing, he is going to be on his fourth offensive coordinator in five seasons.
And his third scheme.
So with that said, Scott, how does that affect Derek? Is it still, when you look back at it, you say, okay, is it worth getting rid of him and having your franchise quarterback in his third scheme in five seasons?
I think, again, if you were even middle of the road offensively, or there were some real bright spots to point to outside of that Chiefs game, I think that you could make that argument.
Okay.
But maybe not at this point in Carr's contract, at this point as they're heading towards Vegas. And most importantly, The guy who's really disappointed in how this offense is running is Mark Davis. Yeah. Mark Davis doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of friends and Raiders alumni that don't like what's going on schematically, mm-hmm. that it is almost anti-Raiders football, which is making plays downfield letting it rip, borrowing a term from Jack. So ultimately, I think that is why, especially if Jack wants to stay around and there is some uncertainty with that, I think ultimately Jack needs to present, hey, this is how we're going to fix this quarterback that we just paid. Here is a new way of doing it, and I don't think continuity would be accepted by those at the higher level. So that's where we are offensively. Now, defensively, there's been some uncertainty. We talked about Jack Del Rio, the head coach. We talked about Todd Downing. There's obviously a real chance that his job is in jeopardy here. Defensively, they've gone through really a Jekyll and Hyde existence. When they had Ken Norton, there were a lot of pieces that weren't necessarily being used correctly. Their stats weren't as good. And then Ken Norton was fired after a blowout loss to the New England Patriots. Since then, with John Pagano at the helm, they've been very good. And
Top five defense
and third down conversion percentage, total yards allowed, passing yards, first downs allowed per game,
sacks,
all within the top five over – And you're right, it's no longer a small sample size. You said that on Raider Central, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think John Pagano should get a lot of credit for this, but I do think I want you guys to hear from TJ Carey and Reggie Nelson about the impact that letting Ken Norton go actually had on the players themselves.
Coaching staff, you know, we had a couple coaching switches, and you know, I felt like I said in the before, I feel like that was very detrimental on us as a unit, just because we know, you know, the product that we put on field represents our coach. You know, so for that situation to happen as a defensive unit, we really felt terrible. And
I get it.
We really start to dive in and really start to be more accountable of ourselves. Not saying we weren't in the beginning, but you know, you take one, two, three different looks of how you can improve yourself in your game to benefit the unit. And then you go out there and put on the product.
You know, and like I said, it triggered down to a lot of people, because, you know, one thing about it, we out there performing, not him.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. I mean, like you guys said, you sit there and you question yourself, like, man, did I not do my job for this man, or did I not do everything I could? So, I mean, like I said, it just triggered down. The sense of urgency kicked up. Not that it wasn't there, but
right, it just kind of
been making a lot of plays.
Right. And,
like I said, it had to go out to the coaching staff that been getting us prepared in the last couple of weeks. We just got to continue to finish strong.
All right, well, I think that those two guys really accurately portrayed the feeling across the entire Raiders defense. Obviously, Bruce Irvin was the most vocal shortly after Ken got fired in an exclusive interview with Fallon Smith on Raider Central, but also understood that, and one thing that I thought was important that Bruce said was, hey, like, that really let us know that anybody can get fired, including players that have big-time salaries. And I think one thing that John Pagano has done really well is that he has allowed guys to play faster by simplifying what they're doing. They make something look complicated, but it's really simple. I think he's gotten quite a bit out of this defense thus far. Jack has said that he envisions Pagano being back. So I don't think that's a big question mark. I think the bigger question mark that you look back to your head coach for is, you say, why didn't you make this move in the winter?
And that is a wonderful question, and a very good one, because here's the thing. Everybody, including us, after a 12-4 season, you said the biggest issue last year was the defense. Got to make some changes. It was bad. It was really, really bad. Statistically, they were bad. The only thing that they had going for them was takeaways, which obviously this year it's a different story. They don't have the takeaways.
They sure don't.
Yeah, that they had a year ago. But still, you thought, okay, they're going to make a change at at defensive coordinator. And instead, they make a change at offensive coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. They were not going to fire both of their coordinators at after a 12-4 season. They just couldn't do that. That would look crazy, right? But the problem is, why in the heck did you get rid of Bill Musgrave to begin with? So that's the question. We obviously don't have time to talk about that. I have my opinions on that. I think that him and Jack did not get along, and it was more of a pride thing, that he wanted to. He didn't want anyone to have a say-so in his dang offense, and, you know, and I'm speaking of, you know, Bill Musgrave, and they just didn't get along, and Jack would throw him under the bus a few times during press conferences.
He would, yeah.
And I don't think he was feeling that. Bill was like, okay, cool, I'm out. So anyways, I think it was a more so a mutual parting ways, maybe. I don't know. But my point is, I don't think they ever should have even gotten to that point. Bill Musgrave should have been the offensive coordinator still. But again, back to the defensive coordinator position, they were not going to let go of both coordinators. That would have just made this organization look really crazy, right? A little more volatile than, you know, kind of a circus like it was years prior, right? You can't do that. So they didn't want to rock the boat like that. And so what they did instead, which I thought was even dumber, which we spoke about before the season began, they brought in John Pagano as what, the assistant head coach of the defense. I mean, come on. We called it out before the season began. We called it out on our season preview show. They're doing this because once the defense takes a crap, John Pagano is going to be waiting in the wings, and it's going to be an easy, here you go. Now you're moving into the defensive coordinator position. It would be an easy move. But how unfair is that for Ken Norton Jr.? You already know that he was feeling the heat before the season began. You already know he thought his job was in jeopardy. He felt John Pagano right behind him, waiting in the wings to take over his position. I don't think that that was fair to Ken Norton Jr. because you put him in a really kind of bad situation where he's on eggshells every day. He doesn't have job security because he knows this guy's about to take his job. And how is that going to help him everyday operation of calling plays the right way and putting his guys in position to succeed? Obviously, he gets paid a lot and he should probably still do that. But I'm saying, you have something hanging over your head. That's like me trying to go to work every day knowing I'm about to get fired. I'm about to fail and stumble over every single damn word when I'm on television. Does that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I think that maybe they didn't want to let go of Ken. Also, it was an admission that they needed more talent, and it would have been a
poor... Well, they sure needed more talent.
And it would have been a poor reflection, because for as much as Jack is the CEO and, you know, involved in everything, he is a defensive mind. He's a former defensive coordinator, and that looks bad because his fingerprints are on this defense as well. Ultimately, and the weird thing is, John Pagano's on staff, right?
Yes.
Here was an assistant head coach, worked a lot with the secondary, but you think, well, why didn't he offer some of these pieces
while
of
he
advice?
Was while he was there,
right? While he was there to maybe help straighten this thing out.
Yeah.
And ultimately that didn't happen. So
of he was
course,
sabotaging. He was sabotaging Ken. That's what. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think ultimately, clearly, if Jack that Jack and John are tied together, if Jack stays, you know, then obviously then he would stay. John actually was kept through a couple different head coaches in San Diego when he was Chargers defensive coordinator. I don't know if they would necessarily go down that road or let a new head coach kind of make that change. But I do think if there's going to be stability on one side, it's going to be on defense that John would stay. And ultimately, the bigger questions are they going to blow the whole thing up,
or
are they just going to make some offensive changes? I don't think there's any way that they can go through this offseason and make no legitimate coaching changes outside of some position coaches. I think that they will. I think that like I said before, that it would be the easiest way to make the biggest impact without completely abandoning ship and rebuilding everything. So that's where we are with the Raiders coaching situation. It's going to be an interesting offseason as we kind of move forward here to see exactly how Mark Davis is going to play it.
Yep.
I think every decision he makes is absolutely vital to the immediate future of this franchise. And ultimately, they do need to get the offense back on track. They do need to get Derek Carr back on track.
Yes.
And they do need to add more talent to this defense.
And I just want to say one thing before we go. I was obviously defending Ken just based on the decision that was made, because I think that he should have been let go on this, you know, before the season even began. But obviously, they couldn't get rid of both coordinators, right? But I think John Pagano has done a heck of a job, Scott.
I do too.
And you are putting your players in the best positions to succeed, and you know, working towards their strengths, right? And when it comes to the pass rushers, they're letting them rush the dang passer. with Bruce Irvin and Mac, and that's why the sacks, what they have, what, 16 over the last five games?
Yeah.
And so I think he's done a great job. I wasn't trying to, like, hate on John Pagano. I was, I just wanted to clarify that I just think that they made, it was a messy situation, and they didn't do the best of their decision-making wasn't the best at the right time, is what I'm trying to say. It was kind of, they put themselves in an awkward position this year, is also what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and it's just crazy because you look at last January when they let Musgrave walk, promoted Downing, kept Norton, and then didn't promote or hire Pagano for that spot, that those decisions last winter had such a dramatic effect on this entire season. Mm-hmm. And I think that you will be able to point to the same period in time to see what they do, not only if they keep Todd or don't, but who they hire there, what the coaching and coordinator choices that they make and head coach choice that they make will have another lasting impact on this year. So it does seem like a million miles away from the next season, but it will have a dramatic impact in how that season fares. So for Fallon Smith, I'm Scott Baer. Thank you so much for listening to us. We're going to have more podcasts throughout the course of the offseason. We'll do a season review type of thing next week with lots of comments from Jack Del Rio and things like that. So thank you very much for joining in, and feel free to subscribe to the Raiders Insider Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Bye, guys.
Raiders Insider Podcast on NBC Sports California.com.